Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Happy New Year, everybody. Just wanted to greet in a few more days, I guess. A week from now, we're going to say Happy New Year again. And I do want to say that in honor of the New Year, I decided to wear something new today. I've been gone because I was in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. As a spiritual family, every nation at the beginning of the year preaches a series of messages globally. And this year we decided to preach on grace. And as you know, we started the year with a fast, and the KL Church asked if I could speak there. And that's why I was gone the last 2 weeks. One was in Manila, the other one was there. As I start this message, I'm reminded of a book that was written by a man named Stephen Covey back in the 1980s. A very, very popular book. And the spirit of the book was, one of the illustrations that the book made was this idea of an aquarium. And he said that this aquarium, people were given sand, and they were given pebbles, and they were given rocks. And they were asked to fill these different objects and make them all fit into this aquarium. And as people tried to fit it, they never could make it fit. And Covey was making a point. When you put the wrong things ahead, you just can't make it fit. But there was a sequence to it, that if you put the big rocks first and lay it around the bottom of the aquarium, and then you put the pebbles found their way around the cracks and crevices of the rocks. And when you put the sand into the whole aquarium, it all fits. It's interesting, you can actually watch it on YouTube, how people can't make it fit. And that's pretty much our life this year. As you start this year, you want to make sure that you're putting the right things in the right places so that they fit. And very often, by the time we have life, our aquarium is so crowded with the wrong things that you're wondering why I can't make the more important things fit. I don't have time for my wife, I don't have time for my children, I don't have time for my health, I don't have time for the right things because I've pretty much put the wrong things ahead. Worst part of it all is the fact that our aquarium is not just can't fit, our aquariums are actually filled with stuff already. So how do you do that? Where you're going to make the right decisions. And this is the year, by the way, and you might not like what I'm about to say, but this is what I firmly believe, and I've seen it in the last probably 20 years of my life. Every year is better than the previous one. It's a fact, because it doesn't matter what the conditions are. The fact is the grace of God is greater than whatever the conditions are. So I've learned to live that every year I expect it. And I think the key is this idea of grace, where you come to God and say, apart from your grace and not the stuff that I've accumulated, can I find success this year or be able to put into my life the things that are necessary? Grace is such a powerful thought. Grace, by the way, is tangible. It's not an ethereal concept that's out there. It's actually something that manifests in life. The more you understand grace, the more you walk in grace, the more you live in grace, you realize it's almost like you can get a knife and cut it in the air and have a cube of grace every day, amen? Literally, if you get it, if you understand how it works. Now, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, interesting, Jesus had died, he resurrected, and the disciples came to him and said, they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They're asking him this question. He just got crucified. He died. He resurrected. And they're gathered around him. And they're saying, are you going to restore Israel? That question, by the way, the context of that question is the Jews were ruled by the Romans. And they were always under the thumb of these rulers. And they never got the best part of their country. So what they're saying is, are you now fixing that? Are you fixing our problems, the finances, the politics, the things that we see? Which, by the way, is typical of us. We want to ask God, God, are you going to fix my job problem? Are you going to fix my health problem? Are you going to fix my relation, my marriage? Are you going to fix that? Show me how you're going to fix that. That's pretty much the same thing. And I love what Jesus said. He said, it is not for you to know. How many of you like just love God? Okay? You're asking God the answer to your problem, and he says, you should know the answer. When I deal with leaders particularly, I always discern where they are, not because of their answers, but their questions. When I deal with staff, I always listen to their questions, because many times I hear their questions are the wrong questions. You shouldn't even be asking that. This is the case here. These people were asking God the wrong question. That's why his answer is, you shouldn't know the answer, because you're, for starters, asking the wrong question. And then they said, you shouldn't even know the dates and the times. Don't even think about that. What's going to happen the whole year this year? That's not for you to know. Here's what you should know. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes up. This is what you should know. You should know that you have the power to live by grace every day of your life this year. You should be jumping up and down and saying amen by now. But you're so stuck with, I want to know the answer still. And God's saying, no, you need to know that you're going to receive power. And that power will enable you to ride the heights of the Romans and the persecution and whatever else they throw at you. You have the power to overcome. Because I want you to be my witnesses. That's the word martus, where we get the word martyr. Which, by the way, in those days did not mean someone who was just going to be murdered and killed for the sake of the gospel, but someone who lived this life so fully that the life alone was evidence of God's grace. It was like the people just had to look and say, how can he do that? Why is he living that way? Didn't the guy just have a problem? Didn't the guy just have the situation? And yet here he is. He's worshiping God and singing songs and still loving God and not late for church and still giving of his best. It's grace. And he says, if you do that, wherever you go, you can go to Samaria and Judea, wherever you go, you carry this thing. This power, this grace. Last 2 weeks, our pastors have talked to you about saving grace. Saving grace is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into this faith, into this grace which we now stand. The only reason why you're here, I'm here, why I can stand here, say the stuff I'm saying, is not because of anything I've done, it's because of grace. And I hope that's clear to you, that we cannot manufacture righteousness. We cannot. We cannot produce it. We're incapable of it. During the holidays, I was really very excited to see my 5 grandchildren. And they're precious. These are my 5 grandkids. I mean, this is the oldest is Philip on the left, and he's carrying his baby brother Manu. And then we've got Elijah, who's actually 2 years old, and is actually bigger than Philip, who's 6 years old. I need grace for this guy, amen? He's half Brit, so the way he behaves, the way he thinks, the way he rationalizes, he's playing, and he's actually mowing down an entire mow of kids. I mean, he's not a bully, not yet. Hopefully not. All right. But the point is, I was hanging out with them, and I was looking at my life and the grace of God. And I called each of my sons before I came, and I said, listen, during the holidays, I know it's busy. I know you have in-laws, and I know you have outlaws. You know, all of them, sorry. You have all of these things, but would you give me one night? I just want to have one evening with you alone. My 3 sons are all fathers now, and I said to the second one, would you give me one night? And this is your schedule. This is the night I'm asking from you. And my 3rd son. So I went one after the other, and I got my oldest son, and we drove off at about 6:30, and he said, where are we going? I said, there's no agenda, just ride with me. You know, when you have, your kids are 37, 36, and 34, you don't have a lot of leverage, amen? I know that when I'm speaking here, I don't have a lot of leverage with you guys. Most of you are like that. Some of you are older, amen? And so you really want to just have a conversation. And I'm driving the car. Make sure you're driving the car so they can't get out. And I know I've got this three and a half hour window. And I drove off and I said, Joe, I want to take you to the place where you were born. And he said, yeah, I've been there. No, I want you to remember. You were there when you were a little boy. Now you're an adult. I want you to see it. And we drove off and it was in a tiny, narrow strip. I said, this is where you were born. Do you remember this place? He said, vaguely. He said, Mom and I went bankrupt. The nation was about to have a civil war. And we had no money. There were days when there was no water in this house. And I was 1984. You were born in 1983. And I didn't have any idea who Jesus was. And then in 1984, in that little, it's about the size, that's literally the size of our living room. From there, maybe as big as that. That's it. I gave my life to Jesus. I got saved by grace. And from 1984 to today, 2019, my life's never been the same. There is such a thing as saving grace. And I began to explain to him how God changed us from the inside. And apart from that grace, really, I won't even be here. I might actually be divorced. I have no idea where I'd be without that grace. And then I took my second son. And I said, you were born here, but here's where you actually grew up. And I was driving and explaining to him. Now, you have to understand about adults, they're not all the same. Amen? I mean, some are stronger, some are not as strong, some are more inclined towards art, some are more inclined towards music, some are more arrogant. Hello. You have friends and neighbors and children who are like that. That's just life. And so I spent time with this other one and explained the same thing in salvation by grace and that life's to be lived by grace. And I went to my third son, and I think it's good to start the year knowing that. I think it's good to take our aquarium and realize that apart from the grace of God, we wouldn't even have an aquarium. I think it's good to come to God with a blank aquarium and say, God, will you fill us up again with grace? Because that grace becomes sanctifying grace. It's the grace that changes you. Without the acknowledgement of that grace, then there is no grace that says, I will be transformed by the same grace. Before I left for Manila during the holidays, I had a flood of gifts from some of you that were chocolates. And for those of you who are members of this church, you know I'm a chocoholic, right? So you can just imagine you're putting all the worst temptations in my hands. And so my wife took a picture, and I'm drowning in all these chocolate, right? And in the end, they were coming in. I mean, little boxes of delights. And I was reminded of this verse. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. By the way, the grace of God is for all people. It's not for special people. It's not just for the guys that can preach or speak or are up here. It's for all people. If we choose to live in it, we can all enjoy it. Now, Titus says it teaches us, this grace teaches us to say no to chocolates. Amen? There's power. The bottom line is there's power in this grace. I can say no. Now, chocolates is one thing. There are other things we should be saying no to: ungodliness, worldly passions. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. To find victory. The good news is, and I took this picture this morning, I survived not eating them, amen? I was able to say no. Now, this one I didn't survive, okay? This one died fast, okay? The other one, actually, two-thirds are still alive, but they're going fast, okay? Thank God my only indulgence is chocolates. The point is, we can say no because of this sanctifying grace. But the heart of my message this morning is this satisfying grace, where you're actually satisfied with everything that God's given you. That you're really not looking for more, trying to find another app that will fix my life and trying to, that's not how I start my year. I start my year with an empty aquarium that says, God, fill it with your grace. Order the rocks and the pebbles, and I know you can do that. Lead me by your sanctifying grace, your saving grace, because I know I'm going to end the year again, as it is every year, and I'm not exaggerating, satisfied, declaring it was yet my best year again. Because I've learned to walk in grace. And here's what it says. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is the Apostle Paul with all the problems. And he's going to God. God, I've got this problem. Could you take away this thorn? Could you take away these problems? And God says, no. Let me explain. My grace is enough. It's more than enough. It'll satisfy you if you could just understand what grace is. Because, you know, when you have a big problem and you overcome that thing, that's actually more satisfying than actually getting something, which will get lost because that's physical. That watch, that car, that thing, that chocolate's going to be gone, but the grace stays with you for the rest of your life. And that's what I want you to learn. Not this grace that just wants to get everything you want, but to understand the power of God inside of you, the dunamis, this thing that restores itself, this thing that's plugged into the wall that never runs out of electricity. That's not trying harder to produce energy out of its own abilities. It's like being stuck to a dam. I can give everybody water because I've got so much supply of it. And the more I give, the more comes out. And it's fresh water because I'm just the conduit of that grace. It's powerful, isn't it? That my power is made perfect in your weakness. God, all I have is an empty aquarium. When I think of grace, I think of ballet. It is the epitome of being graceful, agile, beautiful, powerful, graceful, but more importantly, it looks effortless. That's ballet. You know why ballet dancers can do that? They don't do anything but that. And they only do it a few times a year. But they master certain steps. They master the essentials. And that's why when they do that stuff, it's like, how do they do that? How do you stay on your toes the whole night? They manage to know the essentials. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. This is Paul saying, I'm boasting about it because it is Christ's power. I'm able to do the exercises not because I'm strong and I'm great, because I can learn these things. I can learn how to pray because of the grace of God. I can learn how to meditate on the word of God because of the grace of God. I can learn how to proclaim and appropriate the truth of God's word into any and every situation in my life because I've only focused on those. Those are only the things I do. I just pray, meditate, proclaim the gospel, and fellowship with other believers. And because I've mastered that in some shape or form, it looks effortless. It looks like I'm not burning out. It looks like I'm not getting tired, because that is what grace should look like. That the people in your office are wondering, what is with this girl? I mean, they're dumping all the work, but she seems like she's thriving because there's a certain amount of power that she's getting it from. Not the girl who's always got an excuse and a complaint. Now, it says, Christ's power may rest in me. When I was in Manila, the pastor who replaced me said, hey, can you preach for us on Sunday just before the new year? I thought, okay. So I thought he was going to be there. And then when I, on the day, say, are you going to make the transition? Are you going to introduce me? Because I'm sure after 3 years, a lot of people don't know who I am anymore. I said, I actually won't be there. Amen. Then I realized the reason why he asked me to preach is because he was going to go off on a holiday. So I get there, and I get there early, and I'm walking around trying to check if there's still some of the people that I had pastored previous years, and as I walked, I stumbled into this man. His name is Dudes. He's not a dude. His name is Dude, D-O-O-D-S, and he's half Japanese and half Filipino. His name's Dudes Tanabe, and I walked up to him and said, "Hey, Dudes, long time no see." And I said, "How are you?" I said, "Pastor, never better." If you understand what I know about this man, that's the wrong answer. Because this man's wife suffered for years with terminal cancer. And just about every week, because he was in my small group, it was a phone call of, "Let's pray. Let's believe God. We need money. The kids need to go to school." This was the common thing. I walked over there, and as I drew closer, I looked at his daughters, beaming with joy, happy. I almost felt like I was walking in the midst of ballet dancers, amen? Grace. People who can say never better, even though it was the worst year for others, but not for him. Because he's learned to walk by grace. That's how grace works. It's not contingent on my situation. It's not contingent on whether I got a raise. It's not contingent on what's going on around. It's not contingent on the economy. It's contingent on God. Period. That simple. That if he decides to move me to another country, then let him do it. Because that's his grace. That every time I try to control that and make that happen on my own, I fail. So how do I get this thing? How do I get this graceful, effortless, looks like nothing's happening, I'm not breaking a sweat kind of life, and make my marriage and my health and my finances and my boss work? The answer is still the same. Pray. My question is, do you pray for God's grace? Do you ask God to give you grace? Bible says, now Stephen, this guy was a waiter, literally. This was a nobody. He wasn't the pastor. He wasn't the guru. He's just nobody. But he was full of God's grace and power. That's where you want to be this year. You want to be full of God's grace, because when you're full of God's grace, you'll be full of God's power. And he says he performed great wonders. This is a waiter. This is a nobody. This is a guy who works in Din Tai Fung. Amen? This is not somebody who has a PhD. This is not somebody who works for some bank. This is nobody. And yet, by the grace of God, he performed wonders and signs that people actually envied this guy. They wanted to kill him. They killed him. Even that to him was grace. Amen? Now, really, some of you are really now having a hard time with this grace message. Grace. Do you pray for that? God, give me, fill me with grace and power to perform great signs and wonders this year. Do you? I think you should. I think before you stiff things and stick things in the aquarium, it might be a good idea to say, "Lord, would you fill me with grace?" Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord is the sun and the shield. The Lord bestows grace and honor. No good thing does he..." Do you pray for this? That God, no good thing will you withhold from me this year. That even the thing that looked like it was a bad thing was actually a setup for something even better. You know, I've learned to live that way now. I've learned to realize that sometimes God sets me up. I thought it was the wrong move, and then it turns out to be the best move. Because I've learned not to react in the physical, but to trust God's grace. I was praying before, when I first landed in Singapore about 2 weeks ago or a week ago, whenever that was. And I was looking up at the heavens, and I saw, this is not the bird I saw. I don't take pictures that well. It's a stock photo, but It was one of these birds, and he was up there. He was all by himself. Everybody else was down here. He was flying up there, and he was just playing around. The guy was just, it was like, it was a marvel. I was watching that, and I was praising God. By the way, prayer is breathing. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. That's breathing. You never stop. You see a bird, you pray. You see a tree, you pray. You see, you hear an ambulance, you pray. You're reminded about your wife, you pray. You wake up in the morning, you're brushing your teeth, you pray. Because prayer is to breathing as breathing is to air. To God, it's prayer. It's the thing you don't see, but because you believe the air is there, you breathe. It's the same way. This is God that you don't see, but you believe He's there. That's why you pray. That's prayer. And I remember as I was watching that bird, I'm going to skip that story another day. No more time. But you meditate on grace. Have you convinced yourself about grace? Have you gotten to the place where you're so convinced about it, you're more convinced about grace than your job, than your physical body, than the things that you own? You are more convinced that despite the fact that I don't have all of that, the grace of God is greater than all of that. Have you? Have you meditated on this? Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Have you meditated on the fact that God is an abundant God? Have you meditated on the fact that grace is all about abundance? Have you meditated on the fact that the first words of creation are let there be light, and there are billions of lights? How many lights do you need? That He made trees, and every tree has fruits, and every fruit has seeds, and every seed has multiple trees, billions of trees. That the God of our salvation is a God of abundance. Have you meditated on that? Have you meditated on the fact that He made Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden and said, you need water? Let me give you a river. No, I'm going to give you four rivers. No, I'm going to give you four rivers. I'm going to give four rivers, and I'm going to put gold in the river, and I'm going to put rocks in the river. I'm going to put everything you need because I'm a God of abundance. No, but my boss might fire me and I won't get PR status. When was the last time you meditated on God's grace? No, I have to be like this. I want this. My children might not get to O levels. God can do anything. No, he didn't make it to all levels. He has no more future. Never mind. Where do you get these ideas? I'm running out of time. Sorry. I'll skip this other story. Next week, come back. There's a volcano eruption in my city. An hour and a half away from the city of Manila. Huge volcano. I get a message that my it's so bad that towns like this town, it looks like this now. It's bad. And this is fine dust. And we got called that our grandson was being brought to the hospital because he's inhaling this. This is toxic. This is sulfur. You need grace every day of your life. And so the church clicks in and says, we've got to help people. We've got to get relief goods. And the church announced it, the church that I was pastoring. He said, we've got to do this thing. And this woman shows up. This woman is bringing this bag. And she was donating stuff. And the staff member noticed her and said, wait a minute, I know who you are. You just lost your house. You were a victim of a fire just two weeks ago. There's a huge fire in Manila, and she lost her house. And said, that's fine. I still have this extra I want to get. That's ballet, folks. That's grace. This woman is like, oh, I just lost my house. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. She's not frazzled by the fact that I'm not going to have a house and can complain about everything and anything. No. She said, I want to help these guys because they're in a worse situation. There's more of them than there's one of me. I know this story because the pastor called me and said, you need to hear this story, Pastor Joey. It's one of those. I said, okay, so tell me the story. So this woman is like, oh, man, that's amazing. No, that's not the amazing part. The amazing part is after the service, a little lady came up to me and said, can I meet that lady? And I looked at this woman and said, I know who you are. And I said, sure. And basically she bought her a house. That's it. Can you? Sorry, didn't mean to dramatize, but let me skip that. Do you get grace? Or are you going to walk again this year in your own strength? What are you going to do this year? Will you proclaim grace? That it is by grace that I've been saved through faith. This is not of my works. That's why I can't boast about this thing. Because it's got nothing to do with me. I can't even do this thing. It is the power of God that is tangible and real, not religion. Do you know how to fellowship in grace? Do you know how to hang out in grace? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of the grace that God has given you in its various forms. Some people are generous and they can buy houses. Some people are servants. They can lose everything and still serve. Some people can preach and some people can scratch other people's back. Some people can do the sound. That's the whole point. You have a grace. If you don't use that grace, then it'll be useless. That's why we have Serve Our City. There's a booth back there. That's why we ask you to volunteer at church. To manifest that grace. Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, in love that they have kindled in you, he says, see that you excel in this grace of giving. You know, the one time that the Bible actually tells us to be excellent is in grace. Actually, love, sorry, two. Very close to each other. Stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer. Can you look here for a minute? Would you just put out your hands like this? I don't normally do this. I just felt like just imagine you're holding an empty aquarium. Can you imagine that? God, I know there's stuff in there. I know that. I know when I get to work tomorrow, I'm going to be busy. But God, I by faith. I'm coming to you with an empty aquarium. And I'm starting this year filling it with grace. You saved me. You saved me. Look up here for a minute. Sorry. I was looking at the bird, right? And God tells me this. You know, when you were newly saved, you're one of your favorite verses, do not worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, you know that verse where you always said, look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor store in barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them? That became kind of like a mantra for me. My wife will tell you that. I'd be walking and I'd be starting telling her, I just saw a bird. I just saw a bird. Every time I saw a bird, I would be reminded of God. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more valuable are you than these? And I would see a bird in a wire, and I would say, how can that bird sit in a wire and not be electrocuted? How can that bird fly so high? How can that bird not even worry about things? And it changed me from glory to glory, from grace to grace, learning to live like that bird. And I was praying the other day, just a few weeks ago, I was raising my hands, and God says to me, that's you. You're now that hawk. You've learned how to play in the Spirit. You've learned how to glide. You've learned how to figure out to pray. Figure out how my word is real. That's you. You're getting good at this. Breathe, folks. Breathe the grace of God. Live in the grace of God. Acknowledge the saving grace of God. Be sanctified by the grace of God. More importantly, be satisfied by the grace of God. Amen? Lord, fill our aquariums afresh with your grace today. And let us walk out of here, Father, with the understanding of your goodness and love for each one of us. May we manifest it as witnesses to the ends of the earth, that people may know in war-torn villages, in neighborhoods, in offices, in families, in Chinese New Year celebrations, wherever we go, that we are a people of grace. Not our own strength and abilities and power, but your strength, your power. May we not be worried and frazzled by the questions and the mysteries of this world, but focused on receiving your power and your grace every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you guys. Please don't forget to manifest your grace. Amen. We're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.